Desire your prayers this morning. I'm very thankful, as I already mentioned, that we have a Heavenly Father. And someone that sees and knows everything about us. And I mentioned too that he's a very capable Father. And my little burden this morning, little thought the Lord gave me, is not necessarily about that thought in particular, about God being our Father. But it's more important the fact that he has made a way for us to make it to heaven. The sister was just singing about what a day that'll be when he takes me by the hand and leads me to that promised land. You know, that's a comfort to know that God knows how to lead each and every one of us to heaven. Some of them make it there before we do. And we miss them. Oh, this is a very difficult time for a lot of folks. The holidays around the corner. And just in our little congregation, we've lost three great men in the last year. But you know what? This is where they would be if they were here. They'd be right here with us, showing us the way, demonstrating what it's like to love their families, to love the Lord, to give, to be an example. And for that, I'm most grateful. And I know many others feel the same way. But you know, we weren't the first ones to grieve. I think back in the time of Jesus, when he was here on the earth. Do you remember his triumphal ride into Jerusalem? And we're not really going to cover so much about what happened after he was in Jerusalem. But do you remember when he came into Jerusalem and he wept? He wept, I believe, for a lot of reasons. But you know, that proved, that put, if I can say it this way, some emotion to God. And you know what? I think that does us a lot of good. To know that God can be touched, as the scripture says, with the feeling of our infirmities, our grief, our sorrow, our needs. And it was through his son Jesus that he was able to feel what we really feel. You know, that's powerful. That's amazing. That's wonderful. That we have that opportunity to touch God in that way. And it was when Jesus came and experienced, remember when Lazarus died? He wept then too. He was sad. But I want to read a few scriptures here in Luke, the 19th chapter. And it does cover his triumphal ride into Jerusalem, his last week here on earth. In Luke 19, we'll start with verse 36. They had already found the little colt that they put him on. And it says, as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Now I want to stop there just for a moment and consider that must have been quite a sight. Someone riding in on a little critter there that wasn't really tamed, but became that way, just for this occasion. And to think that, I believe I covered recently about the triumphal parades or the entries or whatever that the kings would do back, especially with the Roman Empire, I believe are the ones that coined that phrase. But truly Jesus was coming in not on this big chariot and with soldiers all around him and with this big old blazing gold with diamonds type of crown on his head and all that type of... No, Jesus didn't come that way. That wasn't his focus. And you think about it, his focus was on what took place with the multitudes. That's what Jesus' focus was on. It was on them, you and I. It was on people. It was on people that had hurts, people that were sick, people that were lonely, people that were racked with pain, people that were in deep sin, people that had needs. Jesus came to minister to them, and that's why it says here, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And I believe we could add to that, I don't think it'd take anything away from the scripture, all the things that they had seen and experienced. Because he had touched their lives too. He'd made a difference in their lives. That's why they were rejoicing and praising God. And they weren't doing it just quietly in a corner somewhere. It says with a loud voice they were doing this. I'll challenge us all here this morning. When we get loud about something, some of us it takes a little bit to get us loud, others it comes more easily. But when we get loud about something, why do we do that? It's because you're passionate about it. Good or bad, you're passionate about something. You get loud, okay? That's what they were doing here. They were passionate about what Jesus had done and all of his works. And what were some of the things that he did? There's many. From the healings, I already mentioned some of that. The casting out of devils and spirits, evil spirits. What about the miracles of multiplying the loaves and the fishes and feeding the multitude? They were hungry, had children out there. That touched Jesus. They're like, these folks are hungry. They need something. They brought the few little loaves and fishes, and you know, he didn't scoff at them and say, yeah, it's foolish. What are you thinking? No. He took that. What little they had, he took that and multiplied it and blessed the multitude. That's a miracle. That's what Jesus is capable of doing, dear ones. And beyond that, you know, how many times did he confound the wise, the doctors, the lawyers, the Pharisees, the elite of the Jews? Just a few simple little words and it would just stump them. They're like, because he was truth. And they could not combat against that. There was nothing they could do. You remember the time when they caught the woman in adultery and Jesus didn't say anything, just wrote in the dust. Totally stumped them. What else could they say or do? They had to leave. They couldn't compete with that. You know, that's the power that Jesus has. And that is something, dear ones, that he wants to impart to us too. The devil may come and he's going to throw accusations and he's going to contest us. But if we have Jesus within us, let him do the work. We don't have to. Scripture said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's natural. You want to resist in the flesh and you want to act carnal. And you have some thoughts cross through your mind Like, oh Lord, take those thoughts before they come into actions or words. But Jesus is capable of doing that. And how about the many teaching sessions and little sermons that Jesus preached throughout his short adult lifetime when he was ministering? That was amazing. He spoke with authority because he was truth. And all the scriptures of the Old Testament, the prophecies were pointing towards him. And then he's quoting the very scriptures that were prophesying about him. And then he expounds upon that even further. And everyone's like, amazed that he spoke with authority. And he didn't go to some seminary somewhere and, you know, learn how to speak and learn how to sway the crowds and use emotion and try to... No, he didn't need any of that. He just spoke the truth. And many more miracles that Jesus performed, and many other things that how he was, people loved to be around him. The children, the crowds, the multitudes just gravitated towards him. Obviously, there were those that didn't, but there were many that did. And that's what was happening this time, his last entry into Jerusalem, and they were singing the praises. It says they began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen and experienced. But it goes on. Notice what this says. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But notice the 39th verse here. Says, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Isn't this interesting? This is a time, a joyous occasion. They're praising and thanking God for everything that he had done through Jesus, their master. And here come the Pharisees. They're hearing this and they are disgusted with what they're hearing and seeing. And you know, do you think with them expressing their disapproval to Jesus, and more than likely to everyone else in the crowd, especially to those that were singing the praises and rejoicing, I could just see the Pharisees walking up to him and going, shaking their head and like, be quiet. You know, hush, you know, what's this all about? This is ridiculous, you know, and upset. You know, what can we do to, and they finally find Jesus like, can't you tell them to be quiet? This is ridiculous. And who knows what else they said? I don't know. I wasn't there, but I can imagine the Pharisees made a big deal over it. Of course they did. But you know what? I am convinced that did not silence the disciples. I'm convinced that it did not silence the praise. Because what else did Jesus go on and say? And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. In other words, and this scriptures can be interpreted a couple different ways, literally or figuratively, but regardless, that part really doesn't matter. It's the fact that God will be praised regardless. And why not join in and be a part of that ourselves? Because isn't he worthy to be praised? That's exactly what they were exclaiming about. They were giving praises to God for all that he had done. And you know, when we stop and think about it, and we can reflect in our own individual and personal lives, we find God has blessed us richly. God has been merciful to us many, many times. Hundreds, if not thousands of times. Times we're not even aware of. He's worthy to be praised, folks. And I know this is the week of Thanksgiving. And no doubt it is for many a difficult time. But you know, I think the enemy of our souls would love to come along and say, just hush. We don't want to hear anything about God. We don't want to hear any praise. We don't hear any thanksgiving. We don't hear any of that. Satan's going to bring those thoughts to us. He's going to want us to try to dwell on maybe some bad things, some negative things, some whatever. Want us to focus on those things. But dear ones, let's not do that. Let's carry on what these folks started. These disciples, they did it with a loud voice. They were passionate about it. And like I said, I don't think they shut up after the Pharisees complained about it. Because Jesus wasn't going to tell them to. But Jesus, not that he was enjoying receiving the praise and the glory. That's not what it was about. It was all pointed back to the Father. They were giving praise to God. Jesus was just an instrument in God's hand. You know, that's the same principle that applies today. Those that have been faithful to the Lord and have carried on what these folks started, we don't praise them necessarily. It's what God did in their lives. And it's what God is doing now in everyone else's lives. You know, to me, that's amazing. These miracles are continuing on. Jesus blessing the multitudes is continuing now. The multitudes of His people now. God is still doing, God is still healing. God is still encouraging. God is still feeding. God is still providing. Through how? Jesus isn't here in the flesh, no. But He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And we have His Word. And now Jesus is up there interceding for us. You know, that means a lot to think about that. And I want to just write a couple of words on the board. I've written on the board two simple words. Carry on. Carry on. They started something back here. And you know, that's something we can all do. Carry on. And you think about these very disciples. You realize later, they were crushed. They were crushed to the core when Jesus left in the flesh. They were despondent. It just seemed like this is it. But you know what? I believe there was a lot of things that took place then. Of course, we know the obvious about the day of Pentecost. But even beyond that, I believe they reflected back on this occasion. And they remembered that last week when Jesus, our Master, was here with us. And how He responded even to the Pharisees. Jesus didn't turn around and just start lambasting the Pharisees and saying, how dare, and just line them out. Jesus didn't do that. Simple response. Wasn't trying to challenge anything. Just stating a fact. Truth is what Jesus spoke. If they're going to hold their peace, the rocks are going to cry out. In other words, what's going to be done is going to be done. And what God is moving upon through His Spirit is going to happen. You can't stop it, Pharisees. And you know what? That same Spirit, when it came on the day of Pentecost and it spread like wildfire, all the enemy's attacks and all the ways he was trying to squelch this thing out, God's saying, not going to happen. No, because once this catches in the hearts and lives of men and women, and they feel my love and my power within them, and they get a taste of God, they're going to want to go back for more. And they're not going back to you, Satan. They're going to carry on. They're going to carry the gospel on. They're not going to stop. Oh, folks, that's exactly what has happened. And you think about it. Satan has come up against God's people throughout the ages, over and over and over and over again. And you know what? He still hasn't defeated them. Though they may die in the flesh, and they're not here anymore, they're living in victory over on the other side where He can't even tempt them anymore. Can't bring any more accusations, say, be quiet, hush. He can't do that anymore. No, they're safe on the other side. And you know, so now it's for us, the rest of us that are here, what's our job? What's our responsibility? Carry on. Carry on what they started here. Don't stop. Don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel and say, well, too much. Can't do it. No. Yes, the disciples, they hit a low. They really did. After the crucifixion. But they didn't stop. They carried on. And the gospel spread. You know, Jesus actually prophesied of that. What was His words? I believe it was in John. Let me turn and read those real quick. In John 14. John 14 and 12. I want to read this scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Now what's he talking about? Was he talking about the magnitude of the miracles that these disciples and other of the children of God were going to perform? No, that's not what, I don't believe it was the emphasis on the magnitude and the impressiveness of miracles, but it was the fact that Jesus was isolated to that one little area on the face of the earth. And he's saying, once you get a hold of this, and you all carry on, you're going to be able to take this gospel to all corners of the earth. If you can say there's corners. The point is, everywhere, the gospel will be spread. That's what he's saying. Greater works. Because I'm in just one little area. But once I come back through the Holy Spirit and the Comforter and come back to visit you and empower you, you're going to carry on and millions of souls will be touched. Not just thousands, millions and millions of souls will have the opportunity to have the gospel message preached to them where they can respond and they too can be saved and then they too can carry that gospel on, you see? And it explodes exponentially. I mean, it just... And that's exactly what has happened. And here we find ourselves in the year 2017. And to think that this is our time. It's our time. Who's going to stand up and praise the Lord? Who's going to stand up and thank the Lord? Who's going to stand up in the face of opposition and say, I'm not going to listen to you, devil. I refuse to be discouraged. I'm going to carry on by the grace of God. I'm going to press toward that mark, toward the high calling of God. It's not anyone else that told me to get saved. Though we've maybe had that happen when we were younger. You need to get saved. But no. It's when God speaks to our heart and says, I need to fix something in your life. I need to right those things that are wrong. I need to do something for you, child. Will you allow me? And it's when we respond and we get saved and we get sanctified and we're empowered with that same power that Jesus had, we're able to carry on this message of the gospel. We're able to carry on the message of hope, the message of opportunities to live for the Lord and to work for the Lord and to testify of His goodness and to testify of His power. Maybe we don't even put it into words, but we can just live it on them. You know, that's exactly what the disciples, the Pharisees tried to hush Him up and tried to squelch Him even the night of the crucifixion. And they were intimidated, but things changed later. Those disciples became very passionate about what their master had done for them. About what they felt in their bosom. They realized it was something that they couldn't do on their own. That no, this is something, this is of God. I couldn't have done this before. They realized that. They realized, you know what, the only way I'm going to be able to carry on is with the Lord's help. and with His Holy Spirit to guide and direct. And the scripture says to bring to remembrance the things that He did for them, the things He wanted to do for them, and all those things. And even, I believe, it's good to reflect upon all the things that God has done for us collectively. Individually is good. That's where it starts. But it bleeds over before long to where, look what God has done for us collectively. God has kept us all encouraged. And we all have this unity of spirit. We can do this thing together. And we're here for one another. You know, that's amazing. And that also encourages us to carry on. That we can do this. No, not on our own strength. I've quoted this scripture many times, but it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of who? It's of God. That's why we give Him the praise and the thanks and the glory. It's not us. Even those that have gone on before us, it wasn't them individually. It was God working in their lives that allowed that and empowered them to carry on through opposition, through obstacles, through what things that seemed impossible. There's no way they can get the victory over that. Oh, yes, they can by the grace of God. And they did. That alone in itself is a powerful testimony that no matter what you and I come up against in our life, by the grace of God, it is sufficient to give us the victory too. If not, then why are we here today? Let's just be honest with ourselves. Why would we be here today if God's grace wasn't sufficient for every need that we ever were faced with? I wouldn't be here. I'm like, I'm out. But no, I've seen it manifested time and time again. In those that pressed on and were faithful to the Lord, they carried on. So can you. So can I. And so can those that come behind us. They can carry on too. But our duty is, let's do our part. Let's be like the disciples back then that started this thing of praising and thanking the Lord. Yes, they may have got quiet for a little while, but that didn't stop them. They came back alive and with, if I could say it this way, a holy vengeance against the enemy of their souls and passionate about it. And they spread the gospel everywhere they went, not content to stay in their little corner somewhere and just kind of rock themselves to sleep, so to speak. Oh, no. They had a message to tell. They had a life to demonstrate, not of what they could do, but of what God could do through them and what God could do through anyone else that would be open and honest to the Lord, saying, Lord, we can't make it either. And Lord saying, I have the answer. Why don't you come along? And let's all carry on for the Lord. You pray for me and I'll be faithful to Him.